The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, July 31st, 2017. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 163rd episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what were the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included: the Daily Mail in the UK ran a piece on an initiative by the Royal Shakespeare Company to allow audiences to be more disruptive in an attempt to make the experience more inclusive. Not quite sure how I feel about this. The U.S. News and World Report ran the story of Lenox, Massachusetts-based Shakespeare & Company being awarded a $15,000 grant for their program for troubled youths, Shakespeare in the Courts. The folks over at the Oxford University Press blog, and where have you been lately, folks, ran a great think piece on the concept of friendship in Shakespeare. The Stage in the UK put together a great panel to discuss the timely, or is that timeless, question: is Shakespeare too difficult for modern audiences? It's a fascinating read. The San Jose Mercury News reviewed A Midsummer Night's Dream by Inferno Theater, running in Berkeley in Northern California through August 13th, calling it lively and agreeably entertaining. WBUR reviewed Romeo and Juliet by Shakespeare on the Common, running through August 6th in Babson Park, Massachusetts, calling it straightforward, fast-moving, and just plain moving. DC Metro Theater Arts reviewed Coriolanus by Shakespeare in Clark Park in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which closed on Sunday, saying that the all-female production brings clarity to what can be an obtuse play. The Telegraph reviewed the new production of the poem Venus and Adonis by Royal Shakespeare Company, running through next weekend, giving it 4 or 5 stars, and saying that this puppet show version of the Bard's racy poem, many have called it the 50 Shades of its day, is an adorable diversion. The Houston Press reviewed Twelfth Night by Houston Shakespeare Festival, running in Texas through August 5th, saying that it's uneven but finishes strongly. The Houston Press also reviewed that company's Richard III, running through August 6th at the same locations, saying that this heavy metal-influenced take rocks. And finally, the San Francisco Gate reviewed Hamlet by San Francisco Shakespeare Festival, running at various locations in Northern California through October the 1st, saying that the production feels stuck in a muddy middle. Now let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On July 25th, 1603, James VI of Scotland was crowned James I of England after the death of Elizabeth. On July 26, 1945, Helen Mirren was born. Dame Helen is a renowned actress who began her career with the Royal Shakespeare Company in the late 1960s and has appeared in the three parts of Henry VI, Midsummer, As You Like It, and The Tempest. Also born on this date, in 1973, was Kate Beckinsale. One of her first roles was as Hero in Kenneth Branagh's Much Ado About Nothing. And also born on this date in 1959 was Kevin Spacey, who played an interesting Richard III in a world tour a few years back, and a killer, no pun intended, Richard-esque character in House of Cards. On July 27th, 1054, the historical Macbeth was defeated when Siward, Lord of Northumbria, invaded Scotland and met his troops around the Firth of Forth. On July 28th, 1540, Thomas Cromwell was executed for treason and heresy. Henry VIII's chief minister, he fell out of favor when he began to suggest Anne of Cleves as a possible wife to Henry. He was arrested on June the 10th, and the marriage to Anne was annulled on July 9th. On the day of Cromwell's execution, Henry married Catherine Howard. On July 29th, 1567, the one-year-old son of Mary, Queen of Scots, was crowned James VI of Scotland. He would later become James I of England, as we said a couple of days ago. July 30th, 30 BCE, Mark Antony, according to some accounts, stabbed himself, thinking his lover Cleopatra had killed herself. His wound was mortal, but not immediately so, and he was reunited with his love, where he died in her arms. And July 31st is Lammas Eve, the day before Lammas Day, or Lammastide, on August the 1st. Lammas is the wheat harvest festival. Juliet, from Romeo and Juliet, was born on Lammas Eve, which is symbolic of the fact that she dies before the harvest, as she died before her time. It also makes the beginning of Romeo and Juliet on or around July 14th. And that was your Week in Shakespeare. Been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending July 31st, 2017. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week. Shakespeare fans, need a poster to hang in your room? Teachers, need some nifty handouts for your students to peruse as you introduce them to the Bard? Or are you just in the mood for some printable versions of some of the cool infographics found on this website? Well, regardless of how you answered those questions, I've got a scratch for that itch, a solution for that problem. Check out the Bill Shakespeare Project page on the Teachers Pay Teachers website. You can find character maps for Romeo and Juliet and Julius Caesar, previewing the characters and their relationships to one another. I've also got geographical maps so your students can wrap their heads around travels within the plays Troilus and Cressida. Yes, even TNC gets some love. All's Well That Ends Well as well. See what I did there? Plus Pericles and Othello. There's also handouts on the so-called history in Macbeth and Julius Caesar, time in Romeo and Juliet, and violence in Titus Andronicus. Also, you'll find entire packets of handouts for both King Lear and Macbeth, including scene-by-scene timelines and the interactions as well as relationships between the characters. And I'll be adding even more soon. Plus, this is where you can find the printable version of the new and improved periodic table of Shakespeare. Some of these are for free, and some are for purchase, but all can be found on the Bill Shakespeare Project page on teacherspayteachers.com. Oh, and if you want to purchase a pre-printed poster-sized version of that periodic table, well then head on over to the Bill Shakespeare Project page on redbubble.com. Links to both of these sites can be found in the left-hand margin of this website.